now a story of being lost in the U.S. criminal justice system. On Monday afternoon, Jerry Hartfield became found. He was released from Hutchins State Jail in Dallas, Texas, after spending 41 years behind bars for the alleged murder of a woman named Eunice Lowe in 1976, when his fingerprints were found near the scene and he confessed to the crime. He was convicted by a jury and sentenced to death. Hartfield, who is classified by the prison system as intellectually disabled, says today that he was coerced into confessing and that he is innocent. In 1980, the Texas Court of Criminal Appeals overturned his murder conviction because of a question of jury bias and ordered a new trial. But prosecutors chose to, in effect, disobey those orders. They asked the courts to keep the conviction. The courts refused. But they also asked the governor to commute Hartfield's sentence, and he agreed, despite the fact there wasn't a valid conviction of murder against him anymore. Jeff Newberry has been Jerry Hartfield's attorney since 2012 and is a legal clinic supervisor at the University of Houston. Andrew Cohen is senior editor at the Marshall Project, who has been following this case for 5 years and made it the subject of this week's Case in Point. He says the decision by the prosecution allowed years to go by without a trial, without a commutation. True legal limbo.
What they tried to do was to keep the conviction, but somehow say that they were satisfied with it being a life sentence and not the death penalty. In other words, they tried to get around the new trial order. So that complicated things. And one of the things they did was to try to go to the governor and get this commutation of the death penalty to a life sentence. They went through the court system to try to sort of shape the nature of the case, and they went to the governor to try to shape the nature of the case. And basically, both of the branches responded. The governor got this commutation, although it came too late, and the courts ultimately said, you know what, no, you can't do it this way. This man deserves a new trial, and he should get a new trial, and you can't take part of the old trial and get rid of the other part of the old trial. And that is where the confusion rested. Prosecutors thought that the commutation from the governor took care of it. The governor's office certainly thought that the commutation took care of it. Jerry Hartfield was at a minimum confused about his situation. The jailers thought that the commutation maybe took care of it. Nobody understood that the court order granting the new trial trumped the commutation. And that was a mystery, basically, in the case for, 23 years, from 1983 until 2006, when Jerry Hartfield had the good luck to run into at least one or maybe two fellow inmates who helped him begin to look anew at the status of his case.
Why, under any circumstances, would a lawyer be allowed to raise his or her hand and say, hey, I have a great idea, why don't we just commute the sentence and pretend like this second trial hasn't even been granted? Jeff, how did that happen and why was it permitted to happen?
Well, before the order for a new trial became final, that would have been a permissible way to take care of this one particular error, the jury selection error. The court still would have had to reconsider the other issues. But before that order became final, that would have been a permissible way to deal with this. The thing is, they didn't do it until after the order became final, and I don't know why anyone would think it was permissible at that point.
Andrew, how much flexibility exists in this period of time when a ruling comes down and a lawyer raises his or her hand and says, actually, here's this really clever way of doing the same thing?
You know, you're asking the question and you're answering it. It is permissible. And had it been done in the right manner, in the right time frame, Jerry Hartfield would be serving out his life sentence and there would be no controversy. There would be a court order sanctifying everything. The commutation, or in other words, would be valid, one or the other. But you had neither. And so that's where the confusion lay. I mean, part of the reason I picked this case and have been following this case for so many years is everybody dropped the ball for a generation. Somebody had to do it right, I guess is the way to put it, and nobody did it right, and then nobody knew that nobody had done it right for all these years while this man sat in a Texas prison without a conviction against him. I mean, that's the thing that makes this unique. This man has been in prison in Texas since 1980, or 1983, depending on which date you want to look at, without a valid conviction of murder against him. And then when it came up again in 2006, and basically for the last 10 years, all of a sudden, Texas officials have been citing all these procedures to essentially block Jerry Hartfield in one form or another from getting some sort of relief, from getting some sort of remedy. So the procedures were basically used against him twice. They were used against him at the confusion in 1983, and then for the past many years, they've been used against him as a roadblock to try to get him the relief that he ultimately got in January.
If someone had taken this case and done what you had done 35 years earlier, would Mr. Hartfield be on the streets today?
It's hard to say for certain what the result would have been, because it's the delay that necessitates the release. Because the delay between the order for a new trial and the new trial hamstrung his attorneys in their efforts to defend him against those charges. Lots of evidence was lost. I mean, the murder weapon was lost. Other key pieces of evidence was lost. And so without knowing exactly when these pieces of evidence were lost and when these witnesses died, it's really impossible to predict what the outcome would have been at some earlier point in history.
And let me just interject for a second, John, and make a point about the irony of all of this. So Jerry Hartfield is told in 1980 he should have a new trial. And then in 1983, it's formally ensured that he's supposed to get a new trial, and then nothing happens for 23 years, and then he starts digging around, and he starts asking questions, and he starts filing motions, pro se motions, because he doesn't have a lawyer, and then finally he gets a lawyer, and it takes essentially 11 years. This is a crazy, obvious violation of the speedy trial right. The irony in this case is that had prosecutors not fought him, had Texas state attorneys not fought him in 2006 or 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 or 11 and said that his claims were bogus, the value, the strength of his speedy trial claim would have been weakened. Because in the end, in January of 2017, what the court said was that they weren't going to start the clock on the speedy trial claim from 1980 or 1983, but rather from 2006. So you have a situation where ultimately, had Texas simply acknowledged the mistake and said, yeah, you know, this is an oversight, this is an innocent situation of confusion, we're going to immediately try Jerry Hartfield again, and we're going to do the best we can with the evidence, I think that the situation, the outcome here might have been very different.
Andrew and Jeff, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Andrew Cohen is the senior editor at the Marshall Project and author of Case in Point, and Jeff Newberry is Jerry Hartfield's attorney since 2012. He's also legal clinic supervisor at the University of Houston.